morning, everyone.
Well, I'm hoping you've all come down from your Valentine's Day chocolate high. Because today I would like to talk to you about one of the rich flavors of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is one fruit with many flavors, all of which the Spirit imparts to us as we learn to depend on Him more and more to create in us the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been studying these flavors in our ladies' Bible studies on alternate Wednesday mornings since September 19th, 2018, if you can believe it. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and won't you say it now with me? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we watched Beth Moore's video on faithfulness, the third to last flavor we will learn about in this series. And at the end of the video, Beth talked a little about a certain Old Testament hero of the faith who embodied and exhibited the rich and satisfying flavor of faithfulness. Faithfulness is defined as the quality of being loyal and reliable. It is the quality of allegiance and fidelity. It is a loyal and loving devotion to God, an uncompromising repudiation of all false gods, the rejection of all heathen practices, a cheerful and ready obedience to God's will, and a warm-hearted and generous attitude towards mankind. Well, if you haven't guessed already, our hero is Daniel. And we're going to be talking about Daniel. Well, who was Daniel? Haley's Bible Handbook tells us Daniel was in the first group of captives taken from Jerusalem to Babylon in 606 BC. He was of noble blood, likely related to King Zedekiah. Daniel was handsome, brilliant, and under the special care of God. He was taken in the company of three other young men who exhibited the same qualities. Together, they refused to eat food offered in sacrifice to Babylonian idols, and were healthier and stronger than all the other young men in King Nebuchadnezzar's court. In this brief description, we can already see Daniel's determination to reject ungodly practices. Well, Daniel rose to worldwide fame quickly. In the book of Ezekiel, which was written only 15 years after Daniel, he is mentioned in the company of such heroes of the faith as Job and Noah, and his wisdom was well known. He was a remarkable man, unswerving in his own spiritual convictions, yet so loyal to his idolatrous king that he was trusted with the affairs of the kingdom. Daniel became a high officer of the Babylonian Empire over a 70-year period and was probably a very old man, maybe over 90 years of age, when King Darius put him in charge of the Babylonian government. What a compliment to his wisdom, integrity, and fairness. Daniel was unswerving in his personal devotion to his God. And today we will hear about the courage, bravery, persistence, and faithfulness which were evident in his life. In Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible called The Message, which I will be using today, his introduction to this outstanding person explains how these aspects of Jesus' character are so important to exhibit in a culture where our faith in God is constantly being tried and tested. As Jesus said to the leper he had cured and forgiven, "Your cleansed and obedient life, not your words, will bear witness to what I have done." Eugene says, "Obedience to God in the pressures and stresses of day-by-day living and trust in God's ways in the large sweep of history are always at risk, but especially during times of suffering and persecution. Obedience to God is difficult when we are bullied into compliance to the God-ignoring culture out of sheer survival. Trust in God is likewise at risk of being abandoned in favor of the glamorous seductions of might and size. Well, Daniel was written out of just such times. There was little or no observable evidence in the circumstances to commend against the stream obedience or overarching trust. But Daniel's stories and visions have supplied what society did not and could not give. Century after century, Daniel has shot adrenaline into the veins of God obedience and put backbone into God trust. The stories of Daniel in chapters 1 to 6 tell of souls living faithfully in obedience to God in a time of adversity, in many ways not unlike the time in which we live. These six soul stories nourish a commitment to integrity and perseverance right now. Very few of us live in settings congenial to God loyalty and among people who affirm costly discipleship. Hardly a day goes by that we do not have to choose between compliance to what is expedient and loyalty to our God. The stories keep us alert to what is at stake day by day and hour by hour. As we go through these stories of Daniel, let's be looking for these two things in each scenario, and I want you to remember these two things. To what or to who is Daniel being faithful, and how do his actions demonstrate this? Well, in the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, which was about 606 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon declared war on Jerusalem. 2 years later, King Nebuchadnezzar had the smartest young men of noble birth brought to court for training in the lore of magic and fortune telling. And Daniel was one of these young men. Daniel continued in the king's service until the first year of the reign of King Cyrus in 600 BC. And Daniel spent four of those years with King Nebuchadnezzar. Well, the king interviewed them and found they were far superior to all the other young men, and he was very impressed any time he consulted them on anything. The king, however, started having deeply disturbing dreams in the second year of his reign. The dreams were keeping him awake at night. And as a result, the king commanded all the Babylonian magicians not only to interpret the dream, but even to tell him the content of the dream. And the consequences for failure were huge. The magicians would be ripped to pieces and their homes torn down. Imagine. But success would mean gifts and honors. Unfortunately, this decree included Daniel, whose Babylonian name was Belteshazzar, and his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, also known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel's response to this impossible request was to ask his friends to pray to God for mercy in solving the mystery so that all of their lives would be spared. And that wasn't just his friends' lives, but also the lives of all the other magicians. To whom was Daniel being faithful? And how did his actions demonstrate this? Let's find out. Daniel 2, 19 to 23 says that very night, God gave Daniel the answer to the mystery in a vision. And Daniel's response was, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. He knows all, does all. He changes the seasons and guides history. He raises up kings and also brings them down. He provides both intelligence and discernment. He opens up the depths, tells secrets, sees in the dark. Light spills out of him. God of all my ancestors, all thanks, all praise. You made me wise and strong, and now you've shown us what we asked for. You've solved the king's mystery." Daniel told the executioner to call off the executions and to take him to the king because he had the interpretation. Daniel was faithful to his God in the face of death, and his first thought was to take the problem to God. God was faithful to provide the answer to Daniel's prayer, and Daniel gave the glory to God. Well, next, Daniel told the king about the dream, the huge statue that represented the kingdoms that would follow in the years to come. And the king's response was to declare that Daniel's God was beyond question the God of all gods, the master of all kings, and he solves all mysteries. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul tells us that men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Daniel had depended on God, and the result was that a foreign king conceded that the God of Israel was the only wise God. But now Daniel's friends were going to demonstrate their faithfulness in a very fiery trial. In spite of King Nebuchadnezzar's proclamations about Daniel's God, the king was going to prove his own unfaithfulness in his next recorded act. The king had a gold statue built to which everyone was to bow down and worship. And if anyone refused, they would be thrown into a fiery furnace. Well, one has to wonder at the sincerity of the king's past opinion of the God of gods. We are not told why Daniel was not specifically targeted in this decree, but we can be sure he stood by his friends. Perhaps their experience with answered prayer in the face of death helped them face this horrific challenge to their loyalty to the one true God. They told the king in Daniel 3, 16 to 18, "Your threat means nothing to us. If you throw us in the fire, the God we serve can rescue us from your roaring furnace and anything else you might cook up, O king. But even if he doesn't, it wouldn't make a bit of difference, O king. We still wouldn't serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up." So to what or to whom were Daniel's friends being faithful? And how did their actions demonstrate this? Did God abandon them? No. He was actually seen walking in the fire with them, and they came out of the furnace unharmed, not even a whiff of smoke on their clothing. Their faithfulness had prompted them to shout out their defiance yet again in the face of death. In their loyalty to God, they exclaimed that even if God didn't rescue them, they would not serve pagan gods. Well, how do we react when our prayers aren't answered the way we think they should? These young men exhibited their loyalty to God, even if his will might have resulted in their deaths. Well, the king was again singing the praises of the God of gods and promoting the trio to higher offices in Babylon. Daniel 4:3 says, "His miracles are staggering. His wonders are surprising. His kingdom lasts and lasts. His sovereign rule goes on forever." But this view of God, again, was not to last. In our next story, God continued to speak to the king in a dream that he relayed to Daniel. It was a dream of a great sheltering tree that was chopped down. Daniel 4 says, "I saw a big towering tree at the center of the world. Everything was fed and sheltered by it. I saw a holy watchman descend from heaven and call out, 'Chop down the tree, lop off its branches, strip its leaves and scatter its fruit. Chase the animals from beneath it and shoo the birds from its branches, but leave the stump and roots in the ground, belted with a strap of iron and bronze in the grassy meadow. Let him be soaked in heaven's dew and make his meals with the animals that graze. Let him lose his mind and get an animal's mind in exchange. And let this go on for 7 seasons. The angels announce this decree. The holy watchmen bring this sentence so that everyone living will know that the high God rules in human kingdoms. He arranges kingdom affairs however he wishes and makes leaders out of losers." Well, the king knew Daniel was full of the Holy Spirit. How did the king know this about Daniel? He had observed it in Daniel's loyalty, obedience, and faithfulness to the one true God. And when the Holy Spirit develops the flavor of faithfulness in us, others can see the difference it makes in our lives, and God gets the glory. And Paul refers to this in Philippians 2. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. So, ladies, are we sparkling like stars? Well, our hero Daniel was upset about the interpretation of this dream, and even though the king was not going to like what he had to say, Daniel stayed true to the words God had given him. Daniel had to tell the king that he had been sentenced by God to graze on grass like an ox and be soaked with dew for 7 seasons. Well, Daniel might have been tempted to sugarcoat an interpretation like that, but he stayed faithful to the words God had given him. Ever had to say something difficult to someone who was heading in the wrong direction? Not an easy thing to do, but God tells us in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. God had a lesson to teach King Nebuchadnezzar. God says in Hosea 14:8, I am like a green pine tree. Your faithfulness comes from me. He wanted the king to learn that he rules over human kingdoms and that he arranges all kingdom affairs. Daniel assured the king that his kingdom would be restored to him after he learned his lesson. And this was Daniel's advice. In Daniel 4, make a clean break with your sins and start living for others. Quit your wicked life and look after the needs of the down and out. Then you will continue to have a good life. Well, did the king listen? Just 1 year later, we see the unfaithfulness of King Nebuchadnezzar. He's out walking on the balcony of his royal palace and boasted to himself, look at this, Babylon the Great, and I built it all by myself, a royal palace adequate to display my honor and glory. Uh-oh. At this, a voice from heaven reiterated the sentence God had placed on the king, and it was immediately carried out. The king was out in the field, grazing like an animal, not a pretty picture. After 7 seasons was up, Nebuchadnezzar was given back his mind, and he had learned his lesson. He was once again singing the praises of God. He said, everything he does is right, and he does it the right way. He knows how to turn a proud person into a humble man or woman. Well, now it was the new ruler, Belshazzar's turn. Belshazzar threw a party at which God was mocked by using articles taken from the Jewish temple. A hand appeared and wrote on the wall, but the message was indecipherable by the ruler's mystics. However, the queen remembered Daniel. And it is interesting to note that the queen was aware of Daniel's testimony and describes him this way. There is a man in your kingdom who is full of the divine Holy Spirit. During your father's time, he was well known for his intellectual brilliance and spiritual wisdom. He was so good that Nebuchadnezzar made him the head of all the magicians. There was no one quite like him. He could do anything, interpret dreams, solve mysteries, explain puzzles. His name is Daniel, but he was renamed Belteshazzar by the king. Have Daniel called in. He'll tell you what's going on here. Wow. Wouldn't it be great if our good testimony in our daily environment was well known, and not so that we get the glory, but so that God gets the glory. So, terrified, Belshazzar summoned faithful Daniel to the palace. Daniel was offered a reward if he could interpret the writing on the wall, but he told the king to keep it or give it to someone else. Again, the interpretation of the dream was not music to Belshazzar's ears. Daniel declares that as Nebuchadnezzar's son, he was well aware of what had happened to his father. Yet he was just as arrogant, setting himself up against the master of heaven as his father had done. God had numbered his days. He had been weighed and found wanting, and his kingdom handed over to the Medes and Persians. Well, Daniel had refused a reward for interpreting the handwriting, but he was robed in purple and given a gold chain to drape around his neck and promoted to third in charge of the kingdom. That night, as Daniel said, the king was murdered and Darius the Mede became the king. God had rewarded Daniel's faithfulness. And we may not see a reward for our obedience to God in this life, but as Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We come now to the last of our stories of Daniel's faithfulness in a foreign land. And are you thinking of our two questions? This is perhaps the most famous and much told of them all. King Darius the Mede reorganized his kingdom, and Daniel became one of three vice regents who ruled over the realm. But seeing that Daniel was brimming with spirit and intelligence, so completely outclassing the other vice regents and governors, the king decided to put him in charge of the whole kingdom. And this makes me think of a servant in one of Jesus' stories in Matthew 25, who had been faithful over a few things. And his Lord said, I will make you ruler over many things. And we will touch on this a little later. Unfortunately, his promotion made the other nobles angry, and they tried very hard to find some scandal that they could dig up to discredit Daniel, but to no avail. There was no evidence of misconduct or negligence, so they determined to cook up something religious. They must have known that Daniel had a daily practice of openly praying to the God of the universe. So they had King Darius sign a decree forbidding anyone to pray to any god or mortal except the king himself. Anyone who disobeyed would be thrown into the lion's den. Well, of course, this would not stop our hero of faith, Daniel, and he continued to pray, as the Bible tells us, as he had always done. Faithful Daniel. And of course, his enemies found him in prayer at his open window facing towards Jerusalem, thanking and praising his God. Well, they went straight to the king, of course. Daniel had been caught in the act of defying the king's decree. The king was not happy with what he knew he must do to Daniel, and he worked all day trying to fix it. The conspirators, however, returned to remind the king that the laws of the Medes and the Persians can never be changed. So the king had no choice but to go through with Daniel's sentence, and he was thrown into the lion's den. But again, the king's remark is telling and reveals that Daniel's loyalty to his faithful God was well known. Your God, to whom you are so loyal, is going to get you out of this. Is my loyalty to my God evident to those around me? Does my life bring glory to him? Is the Holy Spirit producing the flavor of faithfulness in me? The king spent a sleepless night fasting, and at daybreak he hurried to find that Daniel was well and unharmed. God had sent his angel to close the mouths of the lions, and Daniel was innocent before God and the king. He had trusted his God. Daniel 6:25 to 27 says, the king published this proclamation to every race, color, and creed on earth. I decree Daniel's God shall be worshipped and feared in all parts of my kingdom. He is the living God, world without end. His kingdom never falls. His rule continues eternally. He is savior and rescuer. He performs astonishing miracles in heaven and on earth. He saved Daniel from the power of the lions. From then on, Daniel was well-treated during the reign of Darius and also the following reign of Cyrus the Persian. There is so much more to Daniel's story, prayers and dreams and visions of things that have come to pass and things still in the future. Daniel spoke with angels who shared the mysteries of God's plan for the end of this present world. Very serious information. But in the end, Daniel was given these instructions in Daniel 12. Go about your business without fretting or worrying. Relax. When it's all over, you will be on your feet to receive your reward. Well, exactly 1 month ago, we at Bethel here heard a sermon from Peter Acchetti on stewardship as it relates to the church, the body of Christ. Peter said, "We are faithful when we use what he has given us for his purpose. And like the wise steward from Matthew 25, we should maximize our potential for our own good and for the good of the church, his body." In Hebrews chapter 11, we are introduced to a company of people whom the writer considered to be heroes of the faith. Faith is the assurance of God's future promises and an assurance that enables one to persevere. In verses 1 and 2, faith is defined as being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And as my life verse says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The writer then gives us a historical retrospective of the favorable accounts of virtuous lives. Here, faith is defined in terms of a future reward. The Bible background commentary states that the Jewish nation defined ultimate hope in terms of the day of the Lord, when their Messiah would come to reign on earth. This hope is, however, an unshakable conviction in the present, what we would call assurance. The Old Testament heroes of the faith gained testimony because their lives gave evidence that with God's advocacy, they were guaranteed that they would be declared righteous in that day. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses' parents, Moses, the people of Israel walking through the Red Sea on dry ground, the people who walked around Jericho and the walls fell down, and Rahab are all mentioned as people of faith. And eventually we come to Hebrews 11:33, where a famous Jewish exile is not mentioned by name, but is referred to as having shut the mouths of lions. This, of course, is Daniel. And his friends are referred to in verse 34 as having quenched the fury of flames. The stories of their faithfulness are summarized this way in Hebrews 11. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And that something better, of course, is the death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, trust him today. Then the Holy Spirit will reside in you, and your new life will begin. In Eugene Peterson's book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, he says that there is a sense, a feeling that things aren't right, that the environment is not whole. We know the spiritual atmosphere in which we live erodes faith, dissipates hope, and corrupts love. But it is hard to put our finger on what is wrong. There is a great market for religious experience in our world. There is little enthusiasm for the patient acquisition of virtue, little inclination to sign up for a long apprenticeship in what earlier generations of Christians called holiness. It is this long obedience in the same direction which the mood of the world, that is, impatience to get results, the lifestyle of a tourist, only wanting the high points and instant gratification, does so much to discourage. In order to resist the stream of the world's ways, there are two designations for people of faith, disciple and pilgrim. As disciples, we are learners acquiring skills of faith, going someplace. This world is not our home, and as pilgrims, we set out as Abraham did for the promised land. Thomas Szasz, as a writer and therapist, said, "The simplest and most ancient of truths is that life is an arduous and tragic struggle. Sanity has a great deal to do with competence, earned by struggling for excellence. With compassion hard won by confronting conflict, and with modesty and patience acquired through silence and suffering." Peterson concludes that the gospel is to be lived out. He sees the Holy Spirit's work as a fusion of scripture and prayer. God speaking to us in his word and us speaking to God in prayer. And this way, the Holy Spirit forms the life of Christ in us, his character, his fruit. Well, let's summarize by answering our two questions this way. If we could somehow transport Daniel and his friends into our 2020 culture here in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, how would their faithfulness look? To what or to whom would Daniel's friends be faithful, and to how would their actions demonstrate this? Well, maybe Daniel and his friends would serve a delicious meal of organically grown, locally sourced food at the upcoming Guess Who's Coming to Dinner evening, creating an opportunity to meet and encourage new friends. Or perhaps Team Wise Guys would win the trivia night challenge in support of the pregnancy center. Well, they are the wisest guys in town, but they would acknowledge their wisdom comes from God and humbly give the glory to him. Maybe they would have supported mental health by being involved in Bell Let's Talk Day or the Shadows of the Mind Film Festival. Maybe they would be available to counsel those in need of the wisdom that only God can provide. Well, might Daniel's dudes be the hottest team in the coldest night of the year walk and bring in the most donations to support Vincent Place? Sorry, I couldn't resist that. Perhaps Daniel and his friends would create a think tank to tackle the problems facing the city, or serve on city council or the district school board, taking every opportunity to uphold godly values. Or maybe Daniel would marry and he and his wife would serve in their local church, spend time on their knees praying for their family, their church, their community, their government, and all who God would lay on their hearts. Ladies, our task is to obey, believingly, trustingly, to obey, faithfully obey, and dare to be a Daniel. Can we do this in our own strength? The answer is a resounding no. Faithfulness is a flavor only the Holy Spirit can create in our lives, and we would do well to follow Daniel's example, to surrender to God's loving work of cultivating this wonderful flavor, faithfulness, along with all the others as he creates his supernatural fruit in our lives. It is love for our Heavenly Father, the one who showed his love for us, that motivates, empowers, and drives our faithful walk. Let's close by listening to an old Steve Green favorite on faithfulness. Thank you.
To God's sustaining grace, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race, not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come. Christians.